Good morning. This is Sunday School, August 9th, 2020. James 1, 19 through 27. That's our text for today. James 1, 19 through 27 focuses on speaking and listening in the Christian life. James introduces us to the perils of speaking and the crucial importance of listening. He focuses on both what we are to listen to and how we are to listen. He underscores the wholesome results of proper listening. Verses 19 through 21 introduce this topic. We'll read them in the New International Version. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James is speaking to us, to believers, to his beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. Take note of this, calls our attention to the importance of what James is going to say. Then comes his topic sentence. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You might say, well, that's good general advice. Lots of people have said that, and James knows that lots of people have said that. But as we will see, he has much more in mind for the Christian. It isn't too hard to see the connection between listening, speaking, and anger. Anger often goes with lack of listening and lots of speaking. Listening involves love for the other person. The kind of speaking and anger that James has in mind is an assertion of the self over others. Speaking has to be put aside, has to be limited, in order to encourage listening, which is James's main topic, listening. He will briefly return to speaking in verse 26, but he deals with anger right now in the next verse, verse 20, when he says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human anger, the KJV says, the anger of man is self-centered anger that strikes out at perceived slight. Such anger never produces the way of life that God requires of his people. But there's something that does produce the righteousness that God requires, and that is the word of God. Let's look at verse 21. First, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. What a description of the world in which we live. Moral filth and abundance of evil. Get rid of it. I'm reminded of Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. We cannot fill our minds with the degrading filth of the world and the media around us and expect to follow Christ. Now, James is certainly telling us to make listening to one another our priority. Be more concerned about hearing the other person than speaking your mind. This is a basic expression of love. But listening to others will be superficial if we do not listen to God. Just as Psalm 1 again says of the person it's describing, but that person's delight is in the law of the Lord. James would hardly agree with that. James calls us to give God our ultimate attention. But humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Notice the theme of humility, so essential. Being slow to speech and quick to hear requires humility. Accepting God's word begins with humility before him, with acknowledging his lordship and our need. We are called to embrace with all our hearts the word planted in us at our conversion. God's promise through Jeremiah has been fulfilled. God's word has been written on the hearts of those who truly converted to Christ. It is implanted in us. But we must cultivate it by attending to it and by attending to the word of God, giving it our full focus and attention. It's been implanted in us and we have a desire to follow it and are empowered to follow it, but we need to nurture it and to study it. King James is more literal with which can save your soul. Soul here is your whole being, yourself. God's word is the only thing that can save you by making you what God intended for you to be, both now, in this life, and in eternity. So we know to what we should listen, to one another, and especially to the Word of God. Verses 22 through 25 tell us how we should listen to God's Word. Not just what, but how. Let's read them. James 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the Word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We must listen with obedience. We must not be the kind of people who are just listeners, but the kind who listen, who are listeners and doers. Mere hearing of the word, even apparent attention to the word, is totally insufficient. You know, it's easy to come to church, hear a good sermon, and feel good just because we heard it. It's kind of like, well, the preacher spanked me today, and I feel kind of better just because I was spanked. No, hearing without obedience is both ridiculous and tragic. How ridiculous? James is going to tell us. Many of us have mirrors in our living rooms. Every household in the Central Asian country where we lived last year had a mirror in the entranceway. No one would think of going out without making sure that they looked proper. So James says, a person who listens to God's word but then ignores it is like a person who looks at his or her natural face in a mirror, the face with which he or she was born, the real face, but then goes away without combing the hair, washing off the dirt, or if a woman putting on makeup. They go away and immediately forget what they look like. They don't pay any attention to it. It has no effect on their life. They don't care. The mirror of the Christian is the perfect law that gives freedom. This is the law of God, first given in the Old Testament, now fulfilled in Christ. It shows us clearly how to live. It exposes our sin, but is a law of liberty because Christ has transformed us. He has given us hearts that both desire and are empowered to be obedient, or he will give us hearts if we want. If we don't have them, that both desire and empowered to be obedient. This law exposes and condemns our sin, but through Christ we are given the wonderful power, liberty, and freedom to obey. That is, to live as God would have us live. In him we can be free from the compulsion to sin, from the drag to sin, from the weight of sin. And we can be free from sin's debilitating consequences, free to serve God. But we are called to look intently into this perfect law that gives freedom. We don't just look at it superficially. We don't just pass over it with a few words, spend 30 seconds or 2 minute devotion looking at it. The verb translated look intently really has the connotation of bowing down to look into. This is a look of humility, a look of submission. We do not try to conform God's laws to our desires. We seek to honestly understand and to conform ourselves through the power of Christ to the will of God. This looking intently into God's perfect law is a daily walk. We must remain in it. It may begin at a particular time, but we must remain in it, continue in it by continually examining ourselves in light of the word of God, not forgetting what we have learned about ourselves as we go about our business, but doing God's will. It is only the people who thus look and obey who will be blessed in what they do, for they will be doing the will of God. Okay, James, could you give us in a nutshell what this perfect law of freedom teaches us? How are we supposed to live? What is true religion? Just as a side here, James uses the word religion here. Sometimes you hear people demean the word religion. Christianity, they say, is not a religion but a relationship. What they mean by that statement is that Christianity is not the mere performance of rituals, but knowing Christ, and they should add obeying him, serving him. However, here in the book of James, religion is a good word. Religion is the true worship of God. What is this true religion, James? In verses 26 through 27, James does give it to us in a nutshell. Let's read those verses. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faithful is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James says true religion in stark contrast to worthless religion. Worthless religion is characterized by the much speaking that James condemns in verse 19. Worthless religion is characterized by a loose tongue. If people profess to be religious, but do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they're only deceiving themselves. Wow. The danger of talking too much, of gossip, of saying hurtful things, of shading the truth for our own advantage, of talking just to make ourselves look great, of putting others down. No matter what you profess, if you do these things, such religion is worthless. Worthless religion. The term brings us up short. No matter how often we go to church, no matter how much we read the Bible or teach it, no matter what we put in the offering plate, no matter if we sing in the choir, usher, take care of the church property, or any other form of service, if we don't keep a tight rein on our tongues, our religion is absolutely worthless. Friends, let me put it bluntly. That means eternity apart from God. What we want is the true religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless. What is that? Well, James says, here it is. Here is the way to live, listening to and doing the perfect law of freedom. Here is true religion. There are two parts. First, look after orphans and widows in their distress. Look after the needy. Do what you can for those who need your help. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't look just on your own affairs, but be concerned about the welfare of others. Rejoice when others experience good. Weep with them when they suffer. It is all about how you treat people. That is the first half of true religion. Loving my neighbor as myself, which of course assumes loving God with all my heart. The other half is keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Stay away from the lust, greed, jealousy, ambition, self-centeredness, and pleasure-seeking that constitutes the way of the ungodly. Stay away from it. Don't toy with it. Don't wish you could just try a little bit of it. As per the King James, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Don't allow a little spot. Roger Marsha and I have laughed many times about one of the first times they came here to church. I didn't really know them then. As they came in the front door, Marsha noticed a spot on Roger's trousers. It was chocolate or grease or something. She said, "Oh, we've got to go home." I said, "No, wait." I hurried into the nursery, took the package of wet wipes, and went back to the front door. She got the spot off, and they stayed for church. And they're still here. None of us like stained clothes. And we men know that our wives really don't like, if we go out with stains on our clothes, people will blame them that our wives didn't do what they were supposed to do. But we need, and none of us like that, but we need to be infinitely more concerned about a spot of worldly filth than a stained shirt. So, here is true religion. Here is what it means to live in the perfect law of freedom. In humility, listen to others more than you speak. Refrain from anger. Bridle your tongue. Don't fall into jealousy, into gossip, and to cutting others down, into all of those things. Listen obediently to God's word, that perfect law of liberty that we find in Scripture, but that God has also implanted through Christ in our heart, in the hearts of his children. Then we will, by the power of Christ, be able to live a transformed life, characterized by love for our neighbor and by purity from the taint of the sinful society that surrounds the people of God. God bless you. Here James has given it to us in a nutshell in verse 27. Amen.